Sheikh Naeem Qasim, welcome to Face to Face.
Thank you.
My first question is about Hezbollah's presence in Syria. I've spoken with both ordinary Lebanese and politicians, and it seems that the majority of them are supportive of Hezbollah regarding Syria events. But there are some who assume Hezbollah is not fighting terrorists in Syria and it is there to either save President Assad or protect Iran's interests. What's your take on that?
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful. Syria is facing an international war aimed at changing the nature of its government from a protector of the resistance to an Israeli-friendly government. It means striking a hard blow against one of the pillars of the axis of resistance in order to hit the whole axis that would directly harm Lebanon and the resistance. So our involvement in Syria is aimed at supporting one of the columns of resistance, and the move will also guarantee the security of Lebanon and the resistance as a whole. We saw the outcome of pushing back the Takfiri terrorists from border areas in Bekaa Valley, Qusair, Qalamun, and a string of towns and villages overlooking the Lebanese-Syrian border. It led to Lebanon's relief and kept away the danger of the Takfiri ideology from Lebanon. That's why our involvement in Syria is more related to Lebanon, the resistance, and defending the axis of resistance to which Syria is part of. Defending Syria means defending ourselves. We are not supporting certain people or governments. We are facing a dangerous project that could affect our region if we don't react, and that's the sheer fact.
If Hezbollah is fighting with terrorists and helping Lebanon's national security, why some Lebanese politicians want to see Hezbollah out of Syria? What's their benefit if Hezbollah stops fighting terrorists in Syria?
When all the world join their forces to fight in Syria and provide the Takfiri terrorists from 80 countries with what they need, it would be natural for the Syrian army, with all its troops and capabilities, and the Syrian nation to be unable to stand in the face of such a huge invasion. Our help to the Syrians is very little, and not even comparable to the aid given to the terrorists. But we cannot allow the Takfiris to take over Syria and affect the fate of the whole region, Syria, and the resistance. Thus, our involvement was a must, and it was necessary to help the Syrian government stand on its own feet and confront the terrorists. Those Lebanese figures who oppose our presence in Syria are part of the other camp. They agree with striking the government in Damascus, as well as supporting the Takfiris instead of the Syrian leadership, and the American project to change Syria's landscape. They are not in line with our politics, and that's why they're dissatisfied with our presence in Syria, because it is dashing the dreams they believe in. So there is a political gap between us.
Former President Emil Lahoud told me that many of Hezbollah's antagonists are taking bribes from Saudi Arabia. What's your take on that?
The other camp, which we are facing with, is the axis of US, Israel, and Saudi Arabia, in addition to some countries inside and outside the region. It's quite natural that some people in Lebanon are in that camp. The Saudis have their own men in Lebanon who receive money from Riyadh and follow its political views. It's nothing new, and everyone is aware of it, as the Saudis are currently against the axis of resistance and seek regime change in Syria. Their henchmen in Lebanon follow the Saudi line and echo what they say.
Do you think the Future Movement is directly on Saudi Arabia's payroll?
The Future Movement is definitely receiving funds from the Saudis, and all its expenses are paid by them. Not only the Future Movement, but also some Christian, Sunni, and liberal parties receive kickbacks from Riyadh, and almost all of them are under the March 14th umbrella.
Politicians from both the Future Movement and Kataib Party accuse Hezbollah and General Michel Aoun of hindering the efforts to form a new government. They argue that Hezbollah and General Aoun are pushing Lebanon towards a political suicide. What's your answer?
Hezbollah is an inseparable part of the Lebanese government and have made significant concessions in order to pave the way for the formation of a new cabinet. Since 2005, we've got involved in the government to help rebuild Lebanon. But when it comes to the election of a president, we share the same political views with General Aoun and see him as the candidate who we have to stand by. The other side doesn't approve of General Aoun, who enjoys great support among both the Muslims and the Christians. Such a division has so far prevented the election of a president. It is a constitutional right that allows the opposition to prevent the election of the president in a certain way, and we are exercising our right, and they cannot pick a president without our consent. Since they are unable to solve the problem, they accuse us of putting an obstacle in the way of choosing a new president. Instead, they are the ones who hinder talks and refuse to accept the candidate who enjoys huge public support.
Do you think the Taif agreement should change quickly?
We have announced that we agree with the current constitution and the Taif agreement as the reference for different issues. We have no plan to change the Taif agreement for the time being. We've suggested, as previously announced by the Hezbollah Secretary General, thorough reforms to prop up all the constitutional institutions, including the presidency, in order to resolve all our problems based on the Taif agreement, because this accord is almost accepted by all Lebanese factions. As long as we fail to solve our many problems, any other idea would further complicate the matters. We currently support any idea that could narrow the differences and help the formation of the government.
Back to Syria. The story which surprised many lately was Turkey's downing of a Russian warplane on Syrian airspace. Do you think Turkey wants to fan the flames of war, or was it just a simple incident that will be forgotten soon?
Turkey made a really big mistake by shooting down the Russian warplane. I think The repercussions of Turkey's mistake will be very serious. It is important to bear in mind that Russia is targeting the terrorists and that all countries, including Turkey, need to stand alongside Russia, not against it. Turkey's action is neither acceptable nor reasonable, and nothing can justify it at any level. I think Russia's response will grow tougher and it will take more serious steps in hitting the Tekfiris. Turkey cannot influence the events anymore after its role, as well as the role of the Saudis, the Qataris, and the Americans in supporting Tekfiri terrorism was exposed. The airstrikes conducted by the so-called US-led coalition since last year have borne no results, while Russia's airstrikes over a course of a few days tipped the balance of power on the ground in favor of Syrian forces and against the Tekfiri terrorists. What happened was not in line with the Turkish-American project.
Some believe the Turks are seeking trouble in Syria, and the downing of the Russian jet proves it. What would be the next move in your idea?
The downing of the Russian warplane led to negative consequences in the Russian-Turkish ties. Those repercussions would prevent similar incidents in the future. I don't know if they dare making a mistake like that again. But from the political point of view, Turkey learned a lesson following Russia's reaction, and it would not be in its interest to exacerbate the problem or stir the tensions anymore. Mistakes are inevitable in politics, but we hope it would not make it again.
What's Hezbollah's message to President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and Prime Minister Ahmet Davutoğlu after the outright victory in Turkey's elections?
It is to the interest of Turkey and other regional countries to work together against Tekfiri terrorism. If any government thinks it can use Tekfiri terrorism as a tool, it is deadly wrong. Look at France, which is now paying the price of facilitating the movement of Tekfiris to the region. I even believe that some other governments would eventually pay the price for supporting the Tekfiri terrorists. It is better for all to fight with this blind terrorism in Syria and Iraq rather than trying to quell it inside their own borders. Those certain governments will not benefit from their investment on the Tekfiri terrorists, because the Tekfiris will never be their allies. So it is better for all to resolve the Syrian conflict based on the Vienna Agreement as soon as possible and stand together in the face of Tekfirism, particularly Daesh, Nusra Front and Al-Qaeda.
We didn't see a serious reaction from the mainstream media or world leaders after last month's bombings in Beirut that killed dozens of innocent people. Days later, the bombings and shooting in France made headlines. Why a Daesh-claimed attack does not receive media attention in one country and grabs all the attention in another?
Explosions in the Burj Al Barajna district of Beirut targeted the resistance and was aimed at creating Shia-Sunni strife and Lebanese-Palestinian-Lebanese-Syrian divisions. Thanks to God, the residents of Dahiya as well as Hezbollah and Lebanese people did not fall into that trap, and the only result was that we lost a number of souls as martyrs. It is normal that the explosions and shooting in France steal all the headlines because they were not expected in France, a country that has been supportive of terrorists. It was not reasonable for terrorists to attack France, which is also a major European power. So I understand the global attention paid to the surprising events in France and what the terrorists acquired in that country. It was not limited to France only, but to Europe as a whole. They now feel panic and stress. It is certain that the repercussions of the Paris attacks are much bigger than those of Beirut. They see the attacks against us in a different context that is far from theirs. As the mainstream media has been mostly leaning towards the axis supportive of the Takfiris, it's easy to understand why they didn't pay much attention to the events in Beirut. But we don't care. Here, the result is the matter of importance. While we prevented the terrorists from reaching their goals in Lebanon, they could wreak havoc in France, made it insecure, inflicted huge economic losses on that country, shook the European Union to its core, and proved to what extent their policies were wrong, so they could get what they wanted in France, not in Lebanon.
افراد زیادی در لبنان در یک دهه گذشته کشته شدند که اینا شخصیت‌های بزرگ سیاسی بودند.
A number of political figures have been assassinated in Lebanon over the past decade, and the perpetrators were never identified. After each assassination, some pointed the finger of blame at Syria or Hezbollah, but those accusations have never been proven. I asked Amin Jemayel, who lost his brother and his son, as well as Mr. Amir Lahoud and General Aoun, the same question: who is behind Lebanon's political assassinations and acts of terror? Mr. Jemayel had no idea and retracted from his accusations against Syria. President Lahoud and General Aoun blamed Israel and Saudi Arabia. Why, after each assassination, Hezbollah receives most of the blame? Who conducted these killings?
In order to answer that question, we have to wait for the results of judicial investigations about those who blame Hezbollah for the assassinations. Their claims are only baseless, unfounded political barbs. These killings are not in line with Hezbollah's open policy of inviting all factions to join hands for a better Lebanon. We don't respond to these sorts of accusations, finger-pointing, or name-calling. At the end of the day, we know that our main enemy is Israel, and whatever happens is woven by Israel and its agents. It is not surprising if they are behind the assassinations. But we have to wait for probe results, and we do not take any responsibility for any attack.
Why nobody blames Israel from the beginning? As we know, it has always benefited the most from political killings in Lebanon.
When you follow wrong policies, you will arrive at wrong conclusions. When they don't blame Israel, then it's normal to point finger at Israel's enemy. It would be better for them if they thought correctly to see who was benefiting from those killings. It is better to follow the official line of investigation.
Hezbollah is battling hard against terrorism in Syria. Does the movement have intelligence cooperation with Russia, helping it target terrorist positions on the ground?
I can confirm that there are contacts among all fighting forces on the ground.
با توجه به اطلاعاتی که از میدان
Considering your information about Syria's field developments, how long do you think is left to defeat Daesh in Syria? Could it be eliminated at all?
Well, it depends on field developments and the parties fighting on the ground.
How long? Years? Months?
I can't specify any time. I don't have a crystal ball. Things are very intertwined and complicated. I can say we are attacking Daesh with suitable force, and God willing, it will not have enough political power.
Considering a shift in the Western public's view toward Daesh, do you think the group is losing the support of the West or other countries such as Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Qatar?
It is a known fact that Daesh, Nusra Front, and other Takfiri groups have the financial and military support of Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey, as well as the US and Western governments. They think the Takfiris are serving their goals against their opposing camp and that they can reap what they sowed. We are confronting a monster that they created, but it has grown and now has demands against the wishes of its creators. Until now, the American-Saudi axis has not been convinced to stop backing Daesh, but for how long it would continue. I don't know when they would wise up to the danger that is threatening their nations. Daesh has carried out attacks in Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and France. It previously targeted America in the form of Al-Qaeda. So they've seen the actions of this monster, but they've stuck with their mistakes.
We're living at a time when we see the killing of Muslims by Muslims, Muslims by Christians, and in some cases even the killing of Christians by Muslims. But Israel is under no threat and is enjoying a comfortable situation. Do you agree with those who see Israel behind Muslim-Muslim and Muslim-Christian conflicts?
Israel is the mother of all evil in our region. All the strife, conflicts, divides, and wars are because of Israel. It doesn't need any evidence. Since Israel's occupation of Palestinian land in 1948, to date, we see that one end of all the problems has been in Israel. On the other side, the Takfiris never posed a threat to Israel. They are not fighting and will not fight with it. The group is only fighting with other Muslims and Christians and minorities. This policy serves Israel's interests. The Takfiri terrorists commit whatever the Israelis were incapable of doing. The Israelis killed a small number of Syrians, but the terrorists destroyed Syria and killed at least 250,000 people. So the Takfiris are good servants of Israel. Even if we close our eyes on their cooperation, if they were real Muslims, their first priority would be fighting Israel. If they had fought and expelled the Israelis and liberated Palestine, then they could have a say. So far, Israel has had no problem with the Takfiris and has not been attacked by them. Whatever the Takfiris did was to Israel's benefit.
Afrodi Hastand, Hamke.
Some speculate that President Assad's stay in power is also to Israel's benefit because Damascus has not threatened Tel Aviv for a while and Israel is enjoying a partial calm on Syria's border. What's your response to such speculations?
It is true that during the tenure of President Bashar al-Assad and before him, late President Hafez al-Assad, and even since the October War of 1973, there has been no war between Syria and Israel. But it is also true that resistance movements across the region in general and Palestinian and Lebanese groups in particular were completely supported by Syria. All the facilities and capabilities that Syria offered to Palestinian groups led to their resistance inside the occupied territories and helped them confront Israel. It was Syria's aid to the Lebanese resistance groups and Hezbollah that helped us stand in the face of Israel and liberate south of Lebanon in 2000 and gain victory in the 2006 war. We can say that the helpful hands of only two countries in the world, Iran and Syria, reached the Palestinian and Lebanese resistance movements and helped them fight against the Israeli aggression. President Assad's help was as much as the capacity and capability of his country, and it resulted in great successes.
Sheikh Naim Qasim, thank you very much.
You're welcome.